Michael, let's get back to the Adams calendar and the stone ruins, and you were describing how they look like. We've got that link for you up already so people can take a look at this. But this is incredible. What was the calendar's intent? What was it supposed to be up there for?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think it was originally like a very significant ceremonial site established or built for the arrival of the Anunnaki here in southern Africa, and Enki establishing his great city, this extensively large, the largest stone city or settlement ever built on planet Earth. And when you start looking at it from satellite photographs, it truly takes your breath away for the size of it and the extent of it. And I think Adam's calendar was the flagship and the centerpiece of this settlement here in southern Africa, in the middle of the first gold mines on planet Earth. And not only that, it was also, that's why, because of its importance and its significance, this is where they then cloned and did the first the actual insemination or the fertilization of the Anunnaki females and started the birthing process of this new species called Homo sapien.
The remarkable. Yeah. I want you to weave a story for us, Michael. Some of it may be based on, I think, your gut feelings, your instincts, but give us the position from the moment the Anunnaki came to this planet. What do you think happened? I mean, how did they probably, I guess through their equipment and their technology, they knew that this planet was capable of having life. Until they got here, they probably didn't know what was here.
Yeah.
But give me, paint us a picture on what you think happened.
Well, look, I know that your listeners are very open-minded and are seeking more and more information. So I'm going to share something with you that I normally wouldn't share with people.
All right.
I went for a channeling recently. It was my first channeling ever. And I had a long chat with Enki himself. Now, I know a lot of people will say, yeah, I don't know, you don't quite know who you know, who's coming through and actually giving you the information and so forth. But it was, the information was so consistent with our discoveries and shone a light on much of the things we've been discovering and explained a lot of things that previously weren't, I was a little gray on. And it's very interesting. So the story is pretty much like Zachariah Sitchin sketches, and a few other authors have sketched in the past, is that the Anunnaki arrived here 400 odd thousand years ago, seeking gold. At that stage, they needed the gold for very simple reasons, for climatic problems on their own planet. It was only much later that they discovered the monatomic principles or properties of gold. Mm-hmm. And only then did they started using gold as a source of energy. They didn't know it when they first arrived and started mining the gold. So it's only much later, and I believe that real explosion in knowledge and technology happened after the flood of about 13,000 years ago, the biblical flood, but now I'm jumping a bit. So they came here, they're looking for gold. They found some gold in the Near East. They started mining that. And it wasn't enough.
They were doing that themselves at that point, right?
That's right. They were doing that themselves. And it seems that also they were getting it from sea sand under the water. And from quartzite that's been broken up in sea sand, and they were getting gold out of that. And it wasn't enough. And then Enki took it upon himself. I believe it was Enki, possibly with the help of a few others. They scanned the planet Earth. They flew all over the place looking for more denser and higher deposits of gold, and they found it in southern Africa.
They sure did.
Yeah, they sure did. And then shortly after that, they moved the whole mining operation here to the south. Enki established himself a fortress, his headquarters, which is Great Zimbabwe Ruins. And when your listeners go onto our website, they should also see. I'm not sure if I loaded the aerial picture of Great Zimbabwe, but when you look at the aerial photographs of the stone circular structures and you see a picture of Great Zimbabwe from the air, you instantly see it's the same, exactly the same civilization, the same architects, the same group of people, except Great Zimbabwe is a lot bigger. It's the, as I mentioned earlier, it's the mine manager's house. And So he established his fortress there, and they carried on mining. And then they realized that they weren't getting enough gold. They needed help because there were, 300 odd of them or something like that, maybe
something
600
like that.
At 600 at the most. That's what some of the scholars have come up with, those numbers. And that's just, if you think about gold mining processes, 600 people or 300 people is not going to get you a lot of gold out of the ground.
No. They were loading it onto their craft, right, and then taking off again, back and forth.
Taking it off the planet, yeah.
All right.
And this is where it gets really interesting. When we get back to this giant settlement down here, the gold mining settlement, all the paths and the roadways that we've got here. But let's come back to that later. And so then they started mining. They were on their own. They needed help, and that's when they decided, look, we need help. We need to clone some sort of a robot or a species that is, not too advanced or intelligent to question us or argue with us. We need somebody that will just take instructions, be smart enough to understand instructions, operate some tools, and help us get the gold out of the ground. And I can tell you one thing. I've done a lot of geological research in the last 6 months, and it is not easy to find gold. Okay, I can now say that from personal experience.
Yeah.
Personal attempts to find gold in ore on the surface, and I've analyzed over probably 1,000 rocks and 1,000 sediments and things like that, geological structures. It is not easy to find gold. So when they found it, the mother lode under the ground here in South Africa, they realized this is where they've got to go en masse and start doing it in big numbers. And that's exactly what happened. They then messed around for a while, planned, did some genetic experiments between themselves and between various other creatures.
And I bet in some cases, Michael, they probably failed miserably and made some incredibly horrible creatures.
Exactly. I mean, you've seen many movies and many stories that have been written about cross-pollinating different species and coming up with these horrible hybrid creatures. Well,
yes.
Those are probably very, very accurate. And my guess is that it's probably happening today. Just we don't know about it. It's probably, assigned to some black ops secret government project where they're cloning, breeding people with other creatures and seeing what they can come up with. And, believe me, it's probably happening.
Well, that so-called mythical creature Pan, who has the human body and torso, but he's got the goat legs or the sheep legs on the bottom with his cloven hoofs.
Yeah.
Maybe they made him,
Well, exactly. I mean, and according to some of the translations of the Sumerian tablets, that's exactly what they say, that they created these creatures. They crossed DNA of ape-like creatures, the Australopithecus, the Homo erectus. They crossed their DNA, and they found, they created horrible creatures that just obviously were completely useless in an intelligent kind of productive environment. Or relatively productive environment of work and getting gold out of the ground.